To say a blessing today on the renewed moon is to see in it the potential for Jewish renewal and to ponder how that renewal can bind Jews together, not only those Jews in the present, but also connecting those that live today to those that have come before. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 111, King David Lives. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. In his autobiographical novel, Adjusting Sights, Rabbi Chaim Sabato describes himself at the end of Yom Kippur, 1973, about to go into battle. He did so, Rabbi Sabato writes, along with his friend and comrade at arms, Dov, whose mother was at that moment overcome with worry. Quote, "War," she had said. "War, what do you know about it? I know, and I know no one knows when you'll be home again. No one." As she spoke, she filled a tin with homemade cookies and another with cheese pastries wrapped in foil. I knew the taste of both. "Ima," Dov said, "this isn't Romania or World War II. Think of it as a school outing. We'll be back in a few days." To me, he said softly, "I understand how she feels. She's worried. Her whole family was killed in Europe, and she's a mother. But this is just one more glorified company maneuver. We'll be back in no time. I heard on the radio that we're already counterattacking. The Air Force is knocking out the Egyptian bridgeheads on the canal. I'm only afraid that by the time we reservists get to the Golan, the regular army will have finished the job for us." His father put down the little book of Psalms that he was reading. He kissed it and kissed his son. End quote. Rabbi Sabato then goes on to describe how, right before going to war, he and Dov took the time to engage in a ritual that is often performed right after Yom Kippur. Kiddush Levana, the sanctification of the new moon, expressed in a blessing recited over the moon during the first 2 weeks of its monthly cycle. The blessing describes how Jews see in the renewal of the moon a symbol of Jewish renewal itself. The recital of the blessing is often followed by a series of verses, including one from the Song of the Sea, in which Moses asks that fear befall the enemies of Israel. This verse became, in the novel, the centerpiece of an encounter with a mystically minded Hasidic leader. Rabbi Sabato continues, quote, "At the end of Yom Kippur, together we walked to the assembly point. Close to midnight, we were brought to the rabbi of Amshinov by his Hasidim, who were sanctifying the moon. Their rabbi, they confided, could work wonders. His blessing was worth a great deal. They stood around us, straining to hear what he would say. The rabbi of Amshinov clasped my hand warmly between his own two and said, looking directly at me, 'May dread and fear befall them. May dread and fear befall them. Them and not you.' We parted from him and boarded the bus. We thought we'd be back soon. During the three terrible days that followed, I kept seeing the rabbi of Amshinov before me. I kept hearing his words. Each time fear threatened to overcome me, I pictured him saying, 'Them and not you, them and not you.' That calmed me until I heard of Dov's death. After that, the old man stopped appearing." End quote. The novel is built around the hardship of the loss of his friend Dov, and also around the symbolism of the moon's renewal, how it offers consolation to the main character. And this theme, I think, is inspired by the fact that the Talmud itself sees in the blessing over the new moon a source of inspiration, providing us with one of the most famous songs about Jerusalem's future. As Jerusalem was renamed Aelia Capitolina and Jews were banned from its vicinity, the religious leadership of the Jews of Judea moved toward the north of the Holy Land, to the area known as the Galil, and by the end of the second and the beginning of the third century, the Nasi, the patriarch or ethnarch of the Sanhedrin, was one of the most important leaders in Jewish history. Rabbi Judah the Patriarch, or Rabbi Judah the Prince, known as Rebbe, who lived in Usha and later in Sipori. While Jews eventually, under his leadership, achieved a more peaceful existence, it seems that at least at the beginning, the dangers and persecutions persisted, part and parcel of the Roman attempt to extirpate Jerusalem and Judea of Jewish identity. Thus, Martin Goodman tells us, quote, "The rabbinic texts of the 3rd century CE and later contain recollections of a period during or immediately after the revolt when displaying any outward sign of Judaism could be fatal," end quote. It's within this historical setting that we can appreciate a small passage in the Talmud, small but very famous. One of the responsibilities of the Sanhedrin was to determine the beginning of each month of the Jewish calendar, based on witnesses sighting the moon. This was before a set Jewish calendar was created. The Talmud reports that Rabbi Judah sent another rabbi, a student of his, to determine and declare the beginning of the new month in a location named Ein Tav, apparently seeking secrecy due to the fact that Romans were still trying to crack down on Jewish observance. Rabbi Judah chose 5 words given over to his students for the coded message communicating that the new moon, the new month, had been declared. These words have now become one of the most famous phrases in Jewish life. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. David, King of Israel, lives and endures. Today, children and adults sing these words in a song, but not all who do so understand its original context and message. There is here a self-referential aspect to Rabbi Judah's code, as he was himself from the Hillelian Davidic house. Thus, to say that even in the midst of a Roman crackdown on Jewish religious ritual, he, Rabbi Judah, is still living and leading like his ancestors is to say that the Davidic dynasty endures. But there is also a larger, more symbolic aspect to this phrase about King David, one that is linked to the moon, which is the source for Judaism of the lunar calendar. The medieval Sephardic exegete Rabbeinu Bachaya, along with others, give us a haunting but incredibly instructive and symbolic device that summarizes the rise and fall of the Davidic dynasty in the First Temple era. There are around 30 days to the lunar cycle. The moon waxes and is full at 15, it then wanes, and in 15 days from its fullness it is gone. There were 15 generations from Abraham to Solomon. It was Solomon who built the temple, the most radiant moment in Jewish history, Israel at its fullest. The Davidic dynasty descended from there. 15 generations from Solomon brings us to Zedekiah, the last Davidic king of Judah, the darkness of the night betokening how he had been blinded by Babylon. But the moon, we know, shows the faintest, palest luminosity one day after disappearing. Jews see in that renewal hope for their own renewal, a sign of how Jewish hope itself did not die. The traditions that developed over the centuries into this day surrounding the blessing that is said by Jews over the new moon are at first blush extremely odd. Usually at the end of the Sabbath, Jews go outside the synagogue and pronounce a blessing about renewal. They then recite several passages, including the verse praying for fear to seize the enemies of Israel. This verse is recited both forward and backward. They then recite the phrase coined by Rabbi Judah, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, David King of Israel lives and endures. And then, in a seeming non sequitur, those engaging in this ritual suddenly turn to each other and greet one another with the traditional Jewish greeting, Shalom Aleichem, peace unto you. While there are various versions of this tradition, this is a prominent one. What is happening here? Why this greeting? And why immediately after the declaration that David lives? I believe it was Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik who explained that this ritual is a reenactment of that age of persecution described in the Talmud. The verse recited forward and backward is an embodiment of the codes that would have been used as part of the process of communicating the continuity of the calendar in an age when secrecy was required. And when the coded messages would have been recited by one Jew to another, by one rabbi to another, they may well then have greeted each other as allies, allies against Roman persecution, saying, peace be upon you, shalom aleichem. Thus, to say a blessing today on the renewed moon is to see in it the potential for Jewish renewal and to ponder how that renewal can bind Jews together, not only those Jews in the present, but also connecting those that live today to those that have come before. We can now appreciate the exquisite ending of Rabbi Sabato's novel. He describes himself in December of 73, still serving in the Golan, on a Saturday night in the first 2 weeks of the month when the blessing could be said over the new moon, longingly looking for a moon on which to recite the blessing. Quote, the sky was blanketed by a December fog through which a pale light, a reflection of a reflection, shone intermittently. The moon was not to be seen. We had vainly searched for it for the last 4 nights. Tonight marked the start of the 10th day of the month, the last on which the new moon could be blessed. After a while, everyone gave up and went to the tanks. There'll be no moon tonight, they said. We'll sanctify it next month. Perhaps we'll be home by then. I refused to give up and went on gazing at the sky. The night was long. Perhaps the clouds would disperse. And then Rabbi Sabato adds, we were still talking when the moon shone through the fog and clouds and we hurried to sanctify it before it could disappear. As I danced before thee and cannot touch thee, we prayed, so may none of our enemies touch or harm us or do to us anything at all. May dread and fear befall them. May dread and fear befall them. Let this be a good sign to us and the entire house of Israel. Let this be a good sign to us and to the entire house of Israel. Let this be a good sign to us and to the entire house of Israel. End quote. Then Rabbi Sabato describes how he learned more about the circumstances of his dear friend Dov's death from a soldier who usually never spoke, but who seized that moment of sanctifying the moon to speak about Dov. And then Rabbi Sabato concludes by describing, again, the performance of the soldiers of the end of the sanctification ritual. Quote, I looked at the moon and saw Dov. We had sanctified the moon of Tishrei together, the two of us, in Bayit Vagan with the rabbi of Amshinov. And then he adds a bit later in the concluding passage of the book, I stood there in silence. We watched the clouds cover the moon. We bowed to the right and to the left, each toward his friend, and we said, Peace be upon you, peace be upon you, peace be upon you. We bowed to the soldier who never spoke and was no longer there, and we said, Peace be upon you, peace be upon you, peace be upon you. I bowed to the heavens above. I aimed my thoughts at Dov, and I said, Peace be upon you, peace be upon you, peace be upon you. So he writes, Shalom Aleichem. To remember those who never gave up hope, and to bind ourselves to those who paid the ultimate price, to look forward with hope to the future, all this is part of what it means to truly say that King David lives and endures. This is Meir Soloveitchik, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Looking forward to learning together next week. Signing off.